This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Let's start with a nice word in Parsha Kedoshim. Nachsam Sofer in Torah's Moshe. On the Pusik Kedoshim T, Rashi says, Parsha Zi Bahakal Nemra. Why was this Parsha said Bahakal? L'pisharoiv gifei ha-Torah tliyim ba. See, he quotes the Chavis Avuvas when he talks about the grosser maile, goydel malas, precious, and bedidas. He says, it's not the roots in Hashem that a person should be a purish, completely living on his own, isolated, and be in the forest or in a place on a mountain where there's no people there. Hashem wants that people should be oyevus abrius, people should be connected with other people to learn from them and to teach them good things. And even if it means that it's going to be on his own expense sometimes, when a person would have been able to grow or be closer to Hashem if he'd be on his own, but Hashem specifically wanted that people should be living together and connecting each other to Hashem. He says that the Pusik Kedoshim Ti, which is talking about being precious, being kudosh, being holy, I would think that maybe it means that if that's what Hashem is demanding of us, Kedoshim Ti, then a person should be completely on his own. Right? It's Yichul Kamoini, isolated. He says, no. Hashem is saying that it's Bahakal Nemra, specifically Bahakal with a lot of other people, Meirev and Mabriyas, because Roiv Gifa Torah is Tliyimbo, the fact that we're a Mamlechis Kahanim, the fact that we're living together and we're helping each other be close to Hashem, that is what is the Hatzlucha of the Torah. That's how Roiv Gifa Torah actually is Meskayim. And of course, it doesn't mean that we completely ignore the Kedoshim Ti. On the contrary, this is where we learn the idea of Hakal by Kedoshim Ti. It's a balance like everything else between the Medun Lechavayre and Medun Lamukim, the Benishte Ishtoi and Medun Lamukim. There's always room for both. And not just room for both, one enhances the other, and that's exactly what the Torah wants us to do it in such a manner. Let me read a letter somebody sent in. Thank you very much for your hotline. I sit and learn, and I'm very busy, Baruch Hashem, learning. And I don't listen to many hotlines, but whenever I do have a chance, I listen to yours, and I really like it. Okay, thank you. This past week you discussed the situation, this is going back a while obviously, this past week you discussed the situation of a woman complaining that her husband is learning too much and doesn't help enough. By me it's the opposite. I sit and learn a lot and I really don't have much time. I only have one baby, but as an example, early Friday mornings when I get up to learn, the baby would wake up and I would end up being busy with him from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and I can't learn anything then. Sometimes what I do is I leave the house in order to be able to learn at that time, and my wife, who is a very easy-natured person, ends up having to get up and be with the baby. She takes it very easily, and I appreciate that, but on the other hand, I feel a bit guilty that I'm leaving her with the work. She is very easygoing and rarely asks me for much unless she really needs my help, and in general, she's very tolerant. There's another related topic that sometimes gets me a bit nervous, and I've heard you discuss it as well, and that is that some people think they can get everything done when they want to, and don't realize that some planning and scheduling would be so helpful. My wife could be up late at night, Thursday night, cleaning the floor and doing a bunch of other things, which automatically causes that she goes to sleep late, and that's why she's tired in the mornings. If she would only plan better and go to sleep earlier, then she'd be able to get up early Friday morning and do what she has to do while watching a baby as well. And I think it would make everything easier for both of us. I believe I'd be able to learn more and calmer if we plan accordingly. Thank you for addressing my question. This is Lech Beishtein. Okay, beautiful. Ingeman was sitting and learning, barely listening to hotlines, maybe just my own, and learning nicely, and his wife is getting up like an Aisha Schael and watching a baby when she's very tired. It sounds like you're both doing fine. I'll start with that. It sounds like you're both doing fine, which is good. In other words, if this question would have been a story about a woman who's very resentful and angry and the relationship is failing because of the way the schedule is working out, that would obviously be a big problem. If you're talking about a younger man who's very resentful and angry that he can't get any learning in and he's becoming the babysitter because of a lack of planning, etc., that might also be a bigger issue. If b'chlal, this would sound like a dysfunctional home where Shabbos is not getting ready because your wife is going to sleep late, that would also be an issue. But it sounds, again, I'm just reading the letter the way I get it, but it sounds like it's relatively okay on all ends. You're learning, she's doing what she has to do, the home is running nicely. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes if it works for you, it's fine. That's one of the things to take into consideration. I'm not saying it as a rule. And sometimes it's not the way it should be, and I'll discuss a different perspective in a moment, but sometimes if it's working, it's fine. Very often, you know, people ask some questions. I've discussed this in the past, where people hear an idea or a shir about how finances should be run in a Yiddish shtib. So the husband's supposed to be doing it? Oh, well, we don't do it that way. Or, so we're supposed to be putting away a certain amount of money? Well, we don't do it that way. Sometimes, very often, if it's working for you, it's working for you. If that's how you like it, right? You both like going to sleep very late at night and waking up a little late, but it works. If it works, it works. I'm not saying that's always the rule, but sometimes that's the rule. That if it's working, it's working. And the fact that for other people it doesn't work, or the fact that you read something in a magazine about somebody saying that it didn't work for them and that it caused them a problem, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a problem for everyone. I spoke about this magazine syndrome in the past, where people read things and all of a sudden it becomes an issue because now that we read an article about it, we have to agree with what the article just said, and it seems like this is a major issue, and it's not necessarily, you know. If people going on vacation spontaneously works for them, so it works for them. The fact that somebody else said that when you do things spontaneously it doesn't work, doesn't mean you have to stop making major plans. So this is something that, very often, if it's not broken, don't fix it. And if you're just feeling guilty because maybe it shouldn't be this way, but maybe it's just fine, it could be it's just fine. Okay, that's all just by way of introduction, because I think sometimes it's important for people to hear that. Now, I think that unless we're talking about specific situations, and there are specific situations, there are other situations, the exceptions maybe we should call it, where people are fine with almost anything. For whatever reason it is, either because they're very tolerant or because their principles and values bring them to something extreme. There are such things. But in general, let's first talk about the general. In general, extremes are never good. That's the general rule. The general rule is that extremes are never good. And sometimes people either wonder or try to debate or explain why a certain extreme is good, and they try to impose it on someone who's totally not ready for it. I think that in our house we should have a no sugar rule at all. And I'll go into major explanations and debates and I wonder, how can you understand that sugar is killing everyone, the whole America is suffering, and people don't realize that extremes aren't good. Stop trying to explain it or trying to understand it. It doesn't work like that. I've seen many situations of the guy, okay, again, I'm just, whenever I give these examples and I talk about the husband, the wife, I don't mean that it's always the husband, it's always the wife. I'm usually using the example that's being discussed. I see situations of Ingelai, guys, men, who are always home. Who are always home helping the wife, can barely get out. I've heard situations of guys that weren't going to shul to daven three times a day because the wife couldn't manage. And they were never going out, they were never going to a simcha, they were never going to work, they're coming late every day. But because they're always home, because the wife can't manage, and there's a lot of kids at home, whatever the situation. And he feels that he has to, or she feels he has to, whatever it is. And I hear situations of men who are never home, almost literally. Never home, never helping, never contributing, always busy with something else. And extremes aren't good. Don't try to get someone to understand why this extreme is necessary or good or healthy or reasonable. Extremes are almost never good. It's something to take into consideration whenever you're assessing a situation. Extremes aren't good. They don't last, they're not reasonable, you can't impose them on anyone, there's no reason why people should have to be okay with it. You know, selfishness, for example, is never good. The fact that somebody could justify it or explain it, well, in this case it's Lashem Shemayim, or in this case it's because of so many years that I didn't do it that way, now I have to do it this way. Selfishness is not good. When somebody lives just for himself and doesn't take someone else into consideration, and lives life only the way he or she feels is right, that being selfish, it's never good. You could explain from today till tomorrow. Your situation could be different than everyone else's. It's not good. Even taking advantage of someone else's selflessness is not good. In other words, the fact that somebody is willing to tolerate a certain selfishness also usually doesn't mean that it's good. Again, these are just rules. These are rules. And the other way too. You know, if a woman, again in this case, is not going to acknowledge that her husband has certain needs and desires and wants and whatever it is, whatever responsibilities, obligations that he has, well, I can't address those. There's no place for them. And she takes it serious. She takes it personally or takes it as a threat, the fact that he has something else that he wants to tend to and then uses against him. Like, how could you even want to do that? Somebody just told me this recently, this example. How could you think of going to this and this place if I told you I'm not going to come with you? So it means that you're choosing that over me? So that's not acknowledging that he's allowed to have something else in his life that's important to him. Now, if you want to go alone, that would be wonderful. I'm sure he'd love if you come. But if you're not coming means that he's doing something wrong by wanting something, it means he's choosing something over you, or just going to shul, or going to make some money, or going to a simcha, or having other relationships in his life, and obviously the other way around. with a husband doing so to his wife. These are extremes. They're not good. Expecting someone to be selfless and totally loyal and dedicated to you, or tolerating someone's selfishness and someone who's never there for you, and both ways this goes, is usually not good. And the same thing is, like I said, tolerating someone's selfishness by self-obliteration, where I don't count, I don't need anything. Again, very often this just leads to resentment. It leads to people unfulfilled expectations in return. Like, I thought for sure that if I let you do whatever you want, then when it comes to me, you're also going to, and then you just get angry about it. Or after some time, you just plot because you can't do it anymore. Extremes aren't good. Being an extreme tzaddik or an extreme not tzaddik is usually not good for anyone. So that's just it's general rules. It's general. Now, there are exceptions. But in general, it's important to understand that if somebody wants to learn and never help at home, or somebody is always going to help at home and never learn, these are both not healthy balances that are long-lasting or reasonable. Now, in this case, being the question you asked, I don't know if it's extreme. I don't know how much you do help. I don't know how much you don't help. I don't know how little sleep your wife does get on Thursday or on Friday or on Shabbos. I don't know how much she loves your learning and wants you to do this and pushes you to do it and gets literally chiyus and energy from the fact that she's home with Mesias Nefesh watching a baby so that her husband can sit and learn. And if that's the case, it's wonderful. I think there are many situations and many stories that we hear about great people, Gedol Yisrael, who grew and became who they were because their wife took over everything because they wanted to help them to learn. There are such situations. Just a week ago, somebody was telling me about himself when he was younger. The first 20 years of his marriage, his wife did everything on her own because she was enjoying his Torah learning. She wanted to marry a Talmud Chacham. She wanted to marry someone who was a masmid. And the more he was out of the house, and the more that she was struggling, the more she enjoyed it. The more she felt, this is what I'm living for. This is what I'm living for. The Mesias Nefesh, and she believed in it and wanted it. So again, there are definitely situations like that. So I think practically speaking, both because it's possible that you're really sincerely learning very well, and it's possible that you do help when you can, and I'm not sure if this is extreme at all. I'm not sure if the 6 to 9 a.m. on Fridays is your only time to learn all Friday, and the rest of the week you're helping by supper time and other times and putting kids to, and putting a baby to bed or whatever it is. It sounds like your wife is happy. It sounds like your wife is respecting what you're doing. And like I started off with, it sounds like it's all good. I'm definitely not picking up on anything that I think is for sure a problem. I'll say that much. There are many women that are happy with their husband's learning and relishing in it. And I'll just mention that women shouldn't control their husband to go learn and say, well, I'll take care of everything, you just learn, if the husband doesn't want to. That's a separate discussion. But I think that, this kind of devotion that some Yiddish imamas have, Mesias Nefesh for Torah, is a wonderful thing. It's not necessarily bad or extreme at all. I would just point out that you want to make sure that your wife wouldn't notice that for someone else you would disturb your learning faster than for her. That's something that sometimes could cause a problem. I've seen many times, I'm willing to watch a baby, I'm willing to sleep a little bit, but if when your father calls you, when your brother calls you, when a neighbor wants something, that's when you are willing to give up the hours of learning, then all of a sudden, and for me not, that's something that could definitely make people a little upset over time. And in general, I think it's important for everyone to understand every Ben Torah and every Erlechi, to understand that Torah and Chesed are never a contradiction, and they're always complementing each other, and should always be done together. And if somebody's going to be only learning and not helping at all because that's what he decides to do or chooses to do or thinks it's more important, that's of course something to always take into consideration, that helping at home. The famous story about the Yaman who came late to Koil, and the Rosh Koil, the Rosh Shiva asked him why he's coming late. He said on the way to Koil every day he sees a woman who's struggling with her kids and there's no one there to help her, so he stops and helps, and he comes late. And the Rosh Shiva was so impressed, but he said, maybe I can send over in Goliath, tell me where this lady lives. And I'll say, no, it's fine, it's my wife, I just help her before coming to Koil. Obviously coming to Koil and putting in hours of learning and helping a wife at home and doing chesed is not a contradiction. It's all part of serving Hashem, obviously. And for those whose wives are not okay with this arrangement and they are expecting that a man, as much as he wants to learn, should be helping at home, it's a whole different story. I'm just saying that in this situation where it sounds like your wife is easy-natured and tolerant and appreciates your learning and you like learning and maybe you are helping other times, I can't say I think it's terrible at all, but just make sure that it all fits into the and the guidelines of what we are discussing. You end off with something about her being up late at night and not planning ahead and getting less done or not doing things right. Very often, people get stuck on this personality clash, let's call it, where they start debating, you know, what's the better way to do things. And very many of these tendencies and natural characteristics that people have is all about nature. My nature is to be more planned. Your nature is to be less planned. So, of course, I see my way as a better way. I appreciate my way. I think it's better to be planned. You get mine, and I'll approve it because you get more in and you accomplish more or whatever else. And other people will say that, no, it's too stressful. I don't like living with this box and this, and now I have to do this, and I have to go to sleep, and I have to wake up, and I want to relax, and I want to take it easy, I want to talk to my sisters, and I want to, and I know I'll be tired tomorrow, and I'll get a little less done, I'm fine with that. A lot of debates and a lot of unnecessary grief comes from these kind of discussions where people are, they don't realize that they're getting personal. Because they're talking about an idea, they're talking about a topic, they're talking about a style of doing things. They don't realize that subconsciously, what I'm telling you is, you're not good. And you're telling me I'm not good. Because we're talking about something that's very personal to both of us, because it's natural to both of us. People don't even realize this. When it comes to children as well, very often you'll be telling a child that a certain way of doing something is not good, and it's all subconscious. He's too young to realize, but subconsciously you're telling him he's no good because this is his way of doing it. As much as he tries doing it another way, he keeps on falling back because that's who he is. So it doesn't mean you shouldn't encourage or motivate improvement and better behavior and everything else. But often when you're zooming in or being critical about something that's natural to a person, they will take it personal without even realizing that they're taking it personal because you're saying something about their essence. And ultimately, we're all good. Everyone has their way of doing things. Now, I do agree with what you're saying, that planning ahead is amazing. You get more done. I happen to be someone who tries to plan ahead and tries to accomplish a lot. And I think that a lot of it only happens when you plan and you know when you're going to do what. But you have to realize that some people just operate differently. Now, like a lot of areas where husband and wife would both assume that if we could both get on the same page and do things the same way, in the same style, same time, same attitude, same motivation, then we'll be great, right? It doesn't work like that. Even just bedtime, how many couples have this issue where the husband wants to go to sleep early and the wife goes to sleep late, or the wife goes to sleep early and the husband comes home late, or whatever. Now, it's wonderful if we can get on the same page. And of course, in fantasy land, in theory, we'd be happier married if we had the same bedtime, right? Because then we go to sleep together, it would be so nice. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work because neither of us really want to do it the way the other person is doing it. Both of us feel that the way we do it, our way is the better way. And sometimes it's better to just leave it. There are many things in marriage, even though we're married, we are married, but still just letting each other have our own place and our own behaviors and schedules and ways of doing things where it doesn't impose on each other. And I'm being very clear about that. Of course, only where it doesn't impose on each other. Sometimes it's just better. It's just more peaceful. It's okay. I'll go to sleep when I want. You go to sleep when you want. And we'll have enough time that we get together and understand each other and agree and work along. And we don't have to be resentful about this tug of war that we can't, you know, get each other to agree on. It's a shame when these natural tendencies get in the way where people don't accept each other and accept the differences and either decide to give in and accommodate the other person's way of doing it or just allow the other person to do it their way. Now, my point is not that you shouldn't encourage your wife or ask your wife or show appreciation to your wife when she does plan ahead and schedule better and be more effective and more fulfilled and you know, better planned. It's wonderful and it might take a lot of stress over both of you, either because you'll feel less guilty going out to learn or because she'll take it do better and be in a better mood and all that. But don't control the way she does things. Don't degrade her for doing things the wrong way. Stop keeping on proving how wrong it is. Some people just go on and on for months and years about, you see you're tired now, huh? Because if you would do it my way, how many times are you going to say it until you realize that it's not making anyone feel good? It's not making anyone go to sleep earlier. So stop. I think it's very important for people to realize that. I'll end off with just what I think is one of the most important lessons of this and a lot of different topics we discuss. Everything's important. It's important to learn, very important to learn. It's important for a Gemara to learn, to have Sipik in his learning, and to learn a lot of hours. It's important for a wife to know that it's important for her husband to learn. It's important to be a mensch and help at home. It's important for the wife to know that it's important for the husband to help at home when she needs the help. It's important to take Shalom Bayit seriously and to be careful about what you do and make sure that nothing you do rocks the boat at home and makes difficulties. And it's important to know that all these important things could go together. They can go together. When people start choosing which is more important, is my learning more important or the helping? Is the helping or the shown bias? Is the attitude or the behavior or the action, the decision, when it's one or the other, very often people go to an extreme, and that's where things fall out of place. There are many important things in life. Shalom Bayis is important. Chinuch Habunim is important. Your Rachnius is important. Your Gashmius is important. The other person's Gashmius is very important. And finding the balance where all of it could work together and people could be happy about the balance and work together with each other, that's always where it's so important. So I think that the lesson of Kedushim Ti B'Hakal Nemra, understanding how Kedushim Ti is important and B'Hakal Nemra is important, and one enhances the other, is important. I think will definitely help us understand each other, work things out, understand when things are already worked out and Baruch Hashem fine, or things need to be worked out a little better and a little more reasonable, a little more balanced. And I wish yourself understand each other and live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.